Turning for our consideration this evening to Psalm 121. Psalm 121, it is a song of degrees. And we read these words. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. This 121st Psalm, it is a very precious psalm to the Lord's people. Indeed, it was a very favourite psalm of the late Eric Moon. And he drew great comfort, and it was much of his testimony he was wrapped up in these words. And so this psalm is a psalm of testimony for the writer that we have before us. And the writer had proved time and time again these things to be true in his own life. And when we think about this psalm, it is indeed a precious and wonderful. There are many things in here that remind us of the love of God, the care of God, and the protection and the deliverance of the Lord. And this psalm takes us from having our eyes caught up with the things of this life and the things of this world, and it gives us a heavenly perspective, enabling us to face the difficulties that we're enduring and to have that confidence and to have that strength renewed and to have that faith strengthened and encouraged. This 121st Psalm is the second psalm in a group of 15 that run from Psalm 120 to Psalm 134. Some were written by Solomon, some were written by David, and some where the author is unknown. And many believe these psalms were sung when the children of Israel would make their way up as part of their pilgrimages up to the temple for the worship of God. Remember how the children of Israel had to go up, the males had to go up three times in a year, the Passover, the tabernacle feast, and then the feast of ingathering. And so we find that these psalms were often sung by those returning pilgrims to the city of Jerusalem. And so as we think about this psalm, here we have this great confidence that the psalmist has. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. And here we have in verses 1 and 2 the great statement of faith that the psalmist has. And then we have in verses 3 to 8 seven evidences of how the Lord helps and how these come to encourage the soul of the psalmist here. And so we have these in the form of seven promises. And so as we come to verses 1 and 2, we find the psalmist's source of help. We don't find details concerning what trials, what difficulties the psalmist here was enduring. We don't know what time of life this was happening upon the psalmist here. But we can deduce that perhaps to the psalmist they felt insurmountable. We can perhaps deduce that they found himself in a very serious condition. And then he felt almost overwhelmed, so bombarded upon every side. And what is clear, and there's no question about it, the psalmist, he has no natural resource to combat these trials himself. He has no inward strength to fight and to resist and to have the success in what he is facing. And perhaps the psalmist had tried other means of help, but his conclusion is this: my help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. God Almighty alone was the one to help him. God Almighty was the one that was his source of strength and the source of deliverance. And when we think about trials that we face, it is to the Lord that we should turn. It is to the Lord that we must have our hearts, our minds, our whole being directed to, because that is where we will find strength and find deliverance. The world will try to sort out their problems by themselves. Many will go to professionals. Many will seek alternatives. But like the psalmist and like Nehemiah of old, when Job heard the great tragedies that were coming into his family and into his life, it was to the Lord that they went. And so when we face trials and despairs, oh, we can often feel despondent. It can cause us to be downcast, and it can cause us to feel almost despairing. But the psalmist here encourages himself to lift up his eyes. I don't know whether you've ever spoken to somebody who is clinically depressed. One of the things that you find is that they won't give you very good eye contact. And if things are very, very bad, all they will do is just look at the floor. They won't give you look up at all. They may talk very quietly, but just keep looking at the floor. But the psalmist here is encouraging himself to look upward. Looking upward, looking up from the despair and looking to the Lord, looking to the horizon to see above the problems and to see the source of help in the strength of those hills, and reminding himself that his help comes from the Lord which made heaven and earth. And we find that the Lord's people are often encouraged to look up. And when we think about the children of Israel that were bitten by that serpent, Moses would raise up that serpent on that brazen stick, and they were encouraged to look up and live. In Hebrews in chapter 12, we're encouraged to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And when Peter was in the waves, he was looking and then he stopped looking. He looked around and then he sank. And so time and again, we're called to look upwards and to see where our help comes from. And it's very true that the psalmist here must have felt like he was in the valley. Life is full of peaks and troughs. We may know those times of blessing. We may know those times of great encouragement. We may know those times when we have great assurance of faith. We are walking well with the Lord. We're knowing the Lord's blessing. But there may be times when we're plunged into despair. We are plunged down into the valley. And like the psalmist in Psalm 23 describes it as being the valley of the shadow of death. And when we think about the psalmist here in the valley, it was a dangerous place. It was a difficult place. It was a place prone to attack. It was a place prone to being overwhelmed. It was a place prone to being overrun. But the psalmist here reminds himself that his help is going to come from those hills, to come from that higher ground. And when you think, if you were ever in a battle, you always want that higher ground, so you have that perspective, so you have that higher ground advantage. And the psalmist here reminds himself that although he is in the valley, although he feels overwhelmed, although he is in great danger, his help is coming from that higher ground. And when we think about the psalmist here, he doesn't put his confidence in nature or humans, but to God, Almighty God, the all-powerful God, the one that through the power of his word brought into being the heaven and the earth. The people of God, in whatever generation they find themselves in, they need that divine presence, they need that divine sustaining to help in the battle that they face. The Lord's people are always in a spiritual battle. We know that the enemy is a spiritual one. We know that the weapons we use are spiritual ones, they're not carnal. But nevertheless, the battle is fierce. And how we need the deliverance of God. And Jehovah is our source of help. And he is our great advocate. He is the one who fights for us and fights with us. And he is the one who is high over all. And so right from the beginning of this psalm, the psalmist is being encouraged and encouraging himself to look up and look to the Lord. And when we think about God, he is the one that will strengthen. When we think about the tactics of Satan, he is always out to draw our attention, draw our affections away from God, away from the Lord Jesus Christ, and to look down and to look within. And when we find ourselves despairing, perhaps of sin, we find ourselves despairing of the life that we have lived, a life that has been dealt with in the blood of Christ, Satan is quite happy for us to look back to that old nature, to look back to where we have come from. But we are to be encouraged to look up and to look to the Lord. My help cometh from the Lord. And so we have in verses 3 to 8 a series of promises. Promise 1 is found in verse 3. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. I don't know whether you're used to walking, whether you like walking in the hills or up mountains, but suddenly as you perhaps are making that ascent up the hills, you then find yourself on some uneven gravel and your foot slips. You're almost going to fall over. Or perhaps when you're younger, you engaged in a tug of war. You know, you had a group of people on one side of a rope and a group of people on another. And in order for you to win, you had to make sure you had sure footing. And when we think about the life that we live, the world in which we live, it is one of uncertainty. Now we take it for granted that as we walk along the road, it's going to be firm ground, terra firma. But we know what happens when there are earthquakes. We know what happens when there's disruptions in the earth's crust. There's movement and there's terror and there is fear. But when we think about the Lord, he is the one that keeps our feet. And when all the world is changing, when all the world is upside down and in turmoil, the Lord keeps the feet of his people. The way of the Lord is certain, it's true, it's sure. And when we think about all the calamities that can come into life, we can be sailing along quite well. We have a good job, we have a good health, we have a good family. And then perhaps something happens, we lose our job, illness strikes, or perhaps there's bereavement in the family, or whatever it might be. Suddenly, it's as if our feet are being taken from underneath us. Yet the Lord has promised to keep his people, to keep the feet of his elect. In Ephesians chapter 6, we find Paul addressing the church at Ephesus, and he instructs the believers to put on the whole armour of God. And one of the things he encourages the church there to do is to have their feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, in order that they may stand, in order they may not be moved or have their feet taken from underneath them. And the Lord encourages that church to stand with that whole armour of God on, so that when the day and the tactics and the wiles of Satan come, that they may be able to stand and not be removed. Doesn't mean that we won't find ourselves falling into sin. That's so often the case when we take our eyes off the Lord. But to think that the Lord keeps our feet, he will not allow it to be moved. Once in him forever. And when we think upon the ground upon which we stand, as we thought on the Lord's Day, it is none other than that rock, the rock of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so then we have the second promise. He that keepeth thee will not sleep, or will not slumber rather. And then verse 4, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Now we all know what it is to be tired and weary after a day's work or a week's work. And we perhaps come to a meeting and I have been where you have been and you feel your eyelids getting very heavy. And the room temperature rises and you find yourself drifting off. That can happen. But what we have here is a reminder that the Lord doesn't slumber nor sleep. There's not a time when the Lord's attention is not what it ought to be. There's not a time when the Lord's looking upon his people is not what it should be. He is like that great watchman, as Ezekiel would say in his day, the one that is on guard, the one that is listening, the one that is ready, the one that is awake. And whilst others sleep, here we find the Lord is ready to hear. He neither slumbers nor sleep. When we think about Elijah on Mount Carmel, how he taunts the false prophets of Baal by saying, perhaps your God has gone to sleep. You need to shout louder to wake him up. When we think about our God, he doesn't slumber, he doesn't sleep. When we think about our God, he is always ready to hear the cries of his people. And how wonderful that is. We read in verse 4 of Psalm 132, David here, he says, I will not give sleep to mine eyes or slumber to mine eyelids. Well, perhaps that lasted for a little while, but for the Lord, he never slumbers nor sleeps. And so whether we find ourselves in a trial in the middle of the night, or whether we find ourselves in difficulty when we're all alone, yet the Lord is always there, always alert. We notice also in verse 5 how the Lord in the third place is described as being thy keeper. The Lord's people are not guaranteed immunity from suffering. But what we have is, despite the troubles, despite the difficulties, we have one that keeps us. And here we have a picture of the shepherd. One that guides, one that protects, one that prevents all kinds of evil coming upon his people. And here the Lord is the keeper. When we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, he's described as being the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And here, there, the shepherd looks after, cares, and keeps the sheep. He prevents those that would seek to cause harm to come in. The keeper is one who protects, loves, cares, cherishes, and goes after the one that goes astray. And when we think about our Saviour, how wonderful it is that he is our keeper. To think that he is keeping our soul. When we think about what Paul would say in Timothy, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. What greater protector can we have than the King of Kings? And just as the shade brings protection from the sun, so the Lord protects his people from the wrath of evil. When we think about the day of God's judgment, all to think that we will be kept, protected, hidden, sheltered from him, from the wrath that should come unto us. How gracious our God is. Then we read in verse 6, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. And here we have an understanding that the protection of God, this keeping that we have with the Lord, is not a finite period of time. It is day and night, continual, eternal. And the particular problems we may face in the day, or the particular problems we face by night, the Lord is still our keeper. The Lord is still our shade. You think about Jonah in the wilderness under the gourd in Jonah 4, verses 5 and 6. In a very literal way, he was being protected from the sun there. And we find how he was protected in the night as well. And so whether it is the evils of the day or the troubles of the night, here we find the Lord with his people. And when we think about our trials that we face, there may be times when the difficulties of night can come upon us. Loneliness, anxiety, fear. But the Lord has promised to be with us then. And perhaps we're troubled during the day, yet the Lord has promised to be with us then as well. So the Lord is our shade. And then we find in the fifth place how the Lord is our guide. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. And there we have a picture of the way in which the Lord watches over his people as they go out and as they come in. When the children of Israel left Egypt and departed from captivity, there the Lord went with them with the pillar of fire and the pillar of clouds. And when we think about our God, he is the one who is always with his people. He's before and he is behind. And none shall come and overwhelm or overflow them. And when we think about our God, he will not abandon, but he will always keep and guide and bring his people safely home. The Lord is the one that delivers from evil. Again, as we've said, we're not spared trials and afflictions, but the problems that we face in this life, the difficulties, they cannot be compared to the glory that awaits us in heaven. And the eternal security that we have in Christ is absolutely amazing. To think that we are in his hand, to think that none can pluck us from there, to think that none can separate us from him. The writer to the Lamentations reminds us that we have been loved with an everlasting love. What a wonderful, wonderful blessing we have as God's people. And then we have the way in which the Lord is the ever-present help. The Lord shall preserve the going out and the coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Throughout life, blessings, difficulties, encouragements, and times of despair, the Lord is the ever-present help. When we think about our God, he is unchanging, he is immutable, he is the one that is always with his people. And then that will continue into glory. And there will be no time there in glory when we shall find ourselves being bombarded by sin, being drawn away in our affections, where he will watch over us and even forevermore keep and protect and help us in all that we do. And so when we think about our experience, God is our helper in times of trouble, times of distress. Whether we see it or not, whether we comprehend it or not, God has said here that he is there. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Dear friends, are we holding on to the Lord? Are we holding on to him? Or are we going some other way? And so the promises that we have is the Lord will keep our feet. The Lord will not slumber nor sleep. The Lord will be our keeper. The Lord will be our shade. The Lord will be our guide. The Lord will be our deliverer from evil. The Lord will be our ever-present help. And when we think about all the difficulties of life, and they are manifold, they are many, to comfort our hearts, to think that God is with us, is a great blessing indeed. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen.